You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Marietta Bernstorff. She's talking to me from Oaxaca, Mexico. Marietta, thanks so much for being with me.
Thank you for inviting me.
Marietta, I know you're doing a number of things. Can you tell me about the different projects you're doing in Oaxaca?
Yes. At the moment, I'm curating an exhibit of 13 artists from the United States, from New York and L.A., who are either teachers or were teachers at universities, and 13 crafts, master crafts, people from Oaxaca. And it's a dialogue, a conversation about creativity and what they could come up with. At this point, they're all installations. And it'll open up November 30th at the Contemporary Museum here in Oaxaca, Mexico. All of you are invited. And as well as working on a project that I've been doing for 8 years, which is the Women of Canivet, is showing women who were with no craft how to begin to express themselves through patchwork and applique about their stories of migration and their families who migrated to the United States and tell that heart-wrenching story that was caught up in them that they didn't realize that so many people were interested in. I'm glad to say that after 8 years, these women are now extremely professional, and it's about to be visiting University of Michigan, I believe, next on their own. And they're self-sustaining artists today after 8 years, but they're housewives who were affected by migration of their children or their husbands. And as I do this, I work with community and I work with issues that are important to what I think is important for all of us to understand. Maybe through the arts we can reach people in a different light. I hope to be doing one in Hopi in the near future.
I like that. And so will that show travel as well? So these are 13
yes.
U.S.
Yes.
New York, L.A. artists that have come down there and are showing in the museum. Yeah, and then what happens to the show after that? I imagine there's writing along with it as well.
Yes, there's great. There's a lot of myself and numerous other people are invited. The museum, MACO, which it's called here, was kind enough to participate with me and join forces with me. And they'll be moving the exhibit, and we'll start as soon as the exhibit is the work is done, we'll start on the catalog book, because I think it's going to be very interesting for people. But giving us an understanding of how really craftspeople, you know, there's many people that come and want to work with them in their designs or designers or artists, and what they perceive about what it means for you to come and work with them or how to collaborate correctly. There's protocols that one should know, you know, when entering another culture. And we kind of talk on about this throughout the text. And I'm also writing a book about the Women of Canivet, the 8-year project that I worked on with migration, because I think it's a current topic of importance to understand why people cross and why they're willing to stay even under these horrendous circumstances that are happening in the United States right now. So I think art is just a magnificent tool to really reach to people without feeling that we're didactic about the issue, but being more creative in a way of trying to reach people. And I think this is the time right. that the arts is so important.
I think so, too. So I want to talk about the 8-year project, but to talk a little bit more about the curating, you know, it was so interesting what you're saying also about the protocol of coming to other cultures and artists coming to collaborate in Oaxaca. And what comes to mind when you say that, if I'm understanding you correctly, is how artists from the United States and I imagine elsewhere come to Oaxaca. They want to make textiles or rugs based on their geometric designs, or they want to make tiles or other work. And so they seek out craftspeople that potentially are willing to do it for not much money, and then they take that very same work back to their country and use it themselves or sell it for more money. Is that the kind of arrangement that you're talking about?
Yes.
That people use.
Yes, and in all areas, you know, I think these artists that we've invited, some had no clue, you know, don't speak Spanish. Some did. Some have been here before, some hadn't been here before. But it was really interesting because I put them in situations that were not comfortable, let's say. It wasn't to the, you know, they didn't choose which crafts person to work with. I chose for them. And in a way, it's to let us understand how difficult it is to really dialogue with someone who's you're trying to work with. So this kind of gives us an idea. A study, you know, it's basically a study source of understanding. I see the exhibit as an educational exhibit to help people understand things, but also to talk about things that the crafts and the communities where people go and visit don't particularly like people doing. You know, there's always people coming in to say, oh, well, we're going to help them. Help them do what? You know, as there's always that colonialista attitude, you know, colonizing communities. We're going to do better. We're going to help them. And so we need to change some of those attitudes. Mexico is a highly developed contemporary art world scene. So it's not like a, but this not only occurs with people from the outside coming to Oaxaca, but it also happens when artists from Mexico City come to work with indigenous communities of any place in the world. I think we have to really understand that, you know, they've developed also throughout all these years, and they have a very clear understanding of what they're doing. In fact, sometimes I think that craftspeople have a better understanding about what their art is about. At least when you hear them talk, you just go, well, how come artists can't say all these things, you know? But it's through tradition that they've been doing this since they were 4 years old, maybe. You know, so, of course, their level of understanding of the craft is such a tremendous ability that most of the artists that I've invited can't even imagine how they're amazed at that level, you know, and flexible they are to experiment.
So you're also a kind of go-between. Artists from the U.S. or other places come to you and you help broker that relationship that that could easily be, as you're articulating, and it makes sense to me, you know, quite awkward and uncomfortable. So you help broker that relationship?
Yes, I do that as well, yes. Yes. Because the most important thing is that we can, there's so many things we can do everywhere. It's, you know, our relationship between the United States and Mexico, there's just tremendous, you know, things that we could do still. So even if 50 people, you know, 100 or whoever comes in, there's so much that we can never tap all of it, you know. And it's a great way of, if we do it correctly, it's a great way of, as curators, as artists, to really share information, not just take, not just appropriate, but to really share what we know in a correct manner and what they know in a correct manner, you know. So the dialogue is really important, and the communities are quite open to it, you know. Obviously, if they're paid well, they're open to dialoguing.
It just makes for a better relationship. It makes for better art, but also it makes for a better relationship and collaboration, period, too. Right?
Yeah. And I think curators do the same thing. I think sometimes I've met quite a few curators here in Oaxaca. I work between Los Angeles and Oaxaca and Mexico City. In both cases, I think curators of institutions also have to have a training of this. You know, it's not just walking in and picking. It's understanding where this art was developed, you know, how it developed, especially if they're picking into, you know, they're choosing artists who are urban-based artists, like the graffiti or the muralist. So those kind of things that we're trying to explain in this exhibit, and hopefully it'll be fascinating. And the artwork that's coming out of it, of course, these are master crafts people, so you know, everybody's going to want one of the items that they're going to see in the exhibit because they are fabulous. And the relationship that these people with the artists have had, they've had a lot of fun. You know, that it was just an exhibit about having fun and not being so caught up in what art means, you know, what is contemporary, what is craft. We kind of just had a lot of fun in experimenting.
That sounds great, and I'm so glad you're doing that. It also sounds like it makes a difference in the world, right? Because we're talking about you know, the subtleties of relationships as well as art and all the aspects that come with this. It's we're talking about, like, you know, international communications, and also it seems so important to kind of address that kind of, as you mentioned, that sort of colonizing attitude, which you'd think wouldn't happen anymore, but it's, I don't want to say subtle, but sort of insidious that you can come there and just think, yeah, we're helping these people just because you're giving them money, but like you're saying, helping them with what? It's important. So let's talk. Yeah. No, go on. Yeah.
No, I totally agree with what you. I think the most important thing for us now, by just looking at what's happening and everything, is that the world's changing around us as art community, and we have to be involved in some way or another. Not doesn't mean you particularly become a political artist, but you do have to understand the condition in which we're living and how it will affect all of us, as it has done in historical times in the past, and build forces with that. I think we're seeing that on lots of interesting people who are doing interesting projects, like Yosie Sargent in Los Angeles, you know, other curators who are working within this realm, as well as artists who are really working on the border issues, who have been working on them, and it's now the time to really look at them and see what's happening so that we can try to help people not get so aggressive. And we're part of that. You know, it's not like just because an artist comes here and you feel, you know, a lot of artists say, oh, I'm helping. That's not the only thing. The deep thing is to understand the culture, you know, understand where you are and historically, and understand the culture you're coming to, and then you can say you're, you know, and then to have a dialogue with the person you're going to work with, because the truth is most artists do sell their pieces for a lot more than what they're going to pay the craftsperson.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's a dialogue that needs to, and but if there's a study work for the craftsperson, as they explained to me, then you can build a good relationship with them. It's, they don't need you to pay what you're going to make, because obviously it's your name, and that's why people are willing to pay for it now. But building a really good business with them, or really good, they feel like you know, you're coming on a regular basis, or you're working, and you're not really taking anything of theirs, because in some cases people do. That really annoys them. But you're doing your own thing, then the relationship is going to be great.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense, and so it's so important to do that. Let's talk about the 8-year project that you mentioned before. The other work you're doing. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
The one with the women. Well, that project is really interesting because, in fact, that's probably the one I'll go down in the books for, you know, as they say. Because I grew up, you know, I'm a strange Mexican. I grew up in Hattiesburg, Mississippi in the 70s, when there was two Mexicans, right? And then I moved to Los Angeles, so I had a lot of cultural mixes and changes throughout the United States and Mexico throughout my 59 years. But what I'm most interested in is how we lack communication with each other, and so we don't really understand what's happening. But I also, throughout these years, learned how art is so important by working with people like Judy Baca from Los Angeles and Self-Help and other organizations that were in Los Angeles that really worked in community for most of their existence as organizations. And I applied this theory of, can art change people? And in the community of San Francisco, Tonizet, Oaxaca, there was no art. There was no. They were a migrant group. They were groups that were hired to work on a big hacienda that's there. They weren't really formed. And so I assumed, because of the location, that they had some sort of craft. Well, it turned out that they had nothing. And so there is where I decided that if I was going to use the arts, or could the arts change the situation, I could test it in this community. And so through the 8 years of bringing in teachers and organizing classes and putting people together with these women developed a high level of understanding how to use textiles to express like a palette on, you know, in a painting. How do you express these important stories? They're a little bit like retablos. They have text in them, and they began to...
Retablos. What is a retablo?
A retablo is a religious format they use in tens sometimes to put in the church and say, please, God, you know, save my child, and they leave it in the church in Mexico.
So wait a minute. So retablo, am I saying that right?
Yeah, retablo.
Retablo. Okay. So it is a kind of, it's a painting or a sculpture or a type of altar, or is it
just
the
piece, the original piece of a retablo is done on tin, and the painting, they do little naive paintings, and they express their concerns or their needs or what they would like the saint or God to take notice of. And they leave.
Yes. I've seen those, right, where they're...
Yeah,
those are kind of wonderful, right? They're kind of naive paintings, but it's often about a type of healing or a prayer or a wish of divine intervention to make this happen. But there's a little narrative there often that explains that. Okay.
And so this, the women of Tanivet are doing something similar, but with cloth. They're using... applique and patchwork to really tell their personal stories. As I worked with them for 8 years, we were talking about their farming ability, because like I said, they didn't know anything or have anything. So I said, well, what do you do every day? Well, we farm and we deal with our animals. I said, well, let's start with that and let's start talking about that. And then as I really began to know this community and these women, I heard this whole community is affected by migration, and half the community lives in Los Angeles. And so you leave women sort of stressed in a situation that sometimes you're not sure if you have money, or the cops are going to pick up their family or their husbands or their children, and what's going to happen with that. So they developed a high level of tension. And through this project, what we've noticed is that the women who are participating in it found their voice, could express all this anxiety. And they've done it in such a tremendous way through the help of numerous artists from the U.S. and Mexico who have been so generous with their time. They've come to totally express who they are as women of this community. And so they tell you in text. Right now they're doing tremendous series about the border, because I took them to see the border. They'd never seen the border. They spoke about it because of their children, but they never saw it. But once they saw the wall, they thought, oh my God, I can't believe we let our children cross this.
Right.
And they say, and they discuss these issues that are very difficult for them to understand. And they talk about, you know, they make fun of a little bit about Trump, you know, he's always the one that's fixing the wall. He's the handyman, and they also put little things where they say, oh, yeah, well, why don't you make your own tacos and clean your own house and, you know, all this kind of thing. It's all on textile. So the stories are quite humorous and lovely, and people love them. They can't keep anything anymore. They're making tremendous headway, and they've developed self-confidence as females. They talk about art where before they didn't even understand what art meant. Now they talk about art. We're always giving classes, and we're always talking about how art works and where does it come from, and, you know, so on and so on. And they've become the most popular artist right now in Oaxaca in this past 8 years.
That's fascinating. So I think that's why I was also familiar with it, with the form a little bit. So how is it that they became the most popular artist? What does that mean exactly?
Well, you know, they're not considered craft artists, because in reality they are a traditional craft in Mexico means that you have a millennium knowledge of understanding how to use the technique, may it be textiles or powdery or whatever it is that you're working with. But when you're in their case, even though they come from the community, they're not indigenous. They're a mestizo community. Like I said, they were brought in to work on these haciendas. And these women have learned how to use an imaginary sense that they people liked what they were saying in the first ones, and they started making money. So they got more and more creative for themselves. I'm not even sure, you know, I'm still writing about it, and I'm still asking them, where did you find that voice? Where did you find it? You know, because this is a really, I think, an important thing for when you're teaching students. You know, how do you teach students? How do you get them to be creative? Everybody wants, you know, who comes into art school assumes that they're going to make it, but how do you reach that level? And I think it's finding a really honest voice, as these women have done, finding a technique that they are comfortable with, continuing to grow with and experimenting with what they do, and wanting to learn more and more has caused them to be quite a thing right now. Like I said, the University of Michigan's coming down, University of California. A lot of people are inviting them because they're because the topic is so important, obviously, the whole issue with the border, but also how they developed as women and as creative women. Sometimes I don't like to use artists because overused.
Yeah, that's true. And, well, and especially in that, I mean, what we're talking about. So that's really exciting. And when you're also talking about the popularity of these wonderful women, creative people, are those Brie Tableaus also for sale? They seem like something
Yeah, they used to make, like, when I met them in the village, they were making 200 pesos a week, which is nothing. Do whatever they could, and they stayed mostly in home because it's a very macho society. So, you know, what are you doing outside your home? You know, you should be with your children. Since they've transformed, they're traveling throughout Mexico and the United States because I got them visas to, as artists to visit. First of all, to visit the children that they had let go. That was pretty amazing for them when they arrived to Los Angeles and saw their children. I mean, it was very emotional for all of us because this is 10 years in waiting to see their children.
Right.
But they had crossed legally, and they crossed with a mission, you know, and they had a purpose, and they were there as honored guests. So that also was a big thing for the community that's there, this 300 people that came to their show.
Wow.
That was all from that community, you know. So it's seeing how these women are growing and where they're going, and it's allowed them to have this product to sell because they do a product, and they also make art larger mural pieces on cloth that are more, let's say, art-based. But they do have this other side, which I think is very important as women who are having an income for themselves. This changed their life, and now they're making money on a regular basis here in Oaxaca. They have stores that have picked up their pieces, and they've gone on to, we've done a lot of development in their kitchenware and other things so that they have an access of different things that they can, you know, if one thing doesn't sell, the other thing will. So now they're quite independent group, and they're I pull out because my mission is to teach but not to stay and become the founder for the next 40 years, you know what I mean?
Right.
You have to let go if you want people to grow. And if they invite you to continue, like they invite me to all the time, please come and show us more, then I go. But it's all based on their needs now. So that's a different way of doing things, because most people tend to stay with the project that they're working with for a long time.
Yeah, it's so interesting. So to ask one more question about them. So they're doing these different things now that they're selling, that's helping to support them and an income, and also you know, I imagine just being excited as a creative person and having value in what you do. The retablos, are those also for sale? Seems like they're so specific and personal.
They do a couple of – they do their artwork, which is what I consider the retablo-like concept, which is based on the stories of the border and their own personal stories of their families crossing the border or their issues with Trump. You know, they're talking about all that in these little squares. And these that's a very popular, they can't keep any of it. I mean, people are buying them all the time. Every time someone comes, especially people from the United States who value this dialogue and see this, they're picking it up all the time. And then they have a line of textiles that are like potholders and cloth, and because it's all recycled material. It's all based on what people have donated in cloth. It's not everything is created that way. So it's pretty interesting how they've managed through these years to understand how to use cloth as painting. You know, you have mm-hmm. not everybody can put things together that easily. You know, I mean, I myself, when I go, I'm like amazed at how they manage to use texture and color and depth to tell their story now. From not knowing how to even embroidery or how to even tell something to the level where they're at now, it's quite amazing what these women have done for themselves. And
it sure is.
And what the art means to them now. That's pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. And now, of course, the men in the town are asking me to do workshops with them. So hopefully someday I'll be able to do that.
But because the men want to also make this work, they want to also be creative too.
They want to learn something too. You know, that's a hard thing to do in a community, to get the community to let you in and stay. You know, they want you to continue. You know, if I had all the money in the world, I'd be doing it. You know, but I need backing to be able to stay in these communities. But I show them how they can use these languages, creative languages, to express and to open a whole new area for themselves.
And it's so fascinating. It's so interesting, the role of art in there. So that's a wonderful project. Is there anything else you want to mention before I ask you this? The last question, is there anything else you're working on or anything else you want to mention about this whole project? There'll be links in here and other information for people to learn more, but anything else you want to mention or plug in any way?
Basically that I teach these workshops here in Oaxaca and Mexico City, so, you know, they can find my website. And I'm working with trying to develop some classes with the University of in different, you know, California as well as in Virginia with Washington Lee University, who's also been down here looking at what I'm working on. And I'm so that people should be open to coming down and taking some of these classes and workshops and actually being not theory about social practice, but which, you know, these terms always change as one works in communities, but what it actually means to work in a community, what actually art can do for communities. Not a concept, but an actual practice. You know, like field work in anthropology. That's what I'm creating here for students and teachers and curators.
Thanks so much. It's really been fascinating talking about this. And I also want to ask you what you're reading at the moment, the question I ask everybody at the end.
Oh, yes. A friend of mine gave me a book, which I find quite delightful and funny, David Solly's book on To, How, and See. Looking, Talking, and Thinking About Art. So that's what I'm reading at the moment.
I want to thank you so much for talking to me today. It's really been a pleasure hearing about your wonderful work, and thank you for your time.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.